This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's live. It's Friday. It's you, me, and everybody else in South Africa, and starting our day as best we can. It's Friday, though. That should put you in a good mood, right? Yes, Friday.
Happy to be here. Happy to be alive.
Love Fridays. We are missing our seer. We don't know what's happened to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't call me this morning, so I called him and it went straight to voicemail. Mm. I mean, it could be something that's nothing, like he just overslept and
yes.
His phone ran out of battery or something. It happens, but he's usually very responsive.
I know. Feels very, very weird. I'll put my laptop bag in his seat and pretend it's him.
Isn't that nice of you? All right,
hi, Sia.
Not very talkative this morning, huh?
Yeah.
Bad
news. Not very cheeky this morning. Bastard.
All right, well, we'll find out. Hopefully nothing's wrong. You ready for the weekend?
Oh, what a long week.
I know, but don't worry, there's a public holiday coming up soon. You know about that, right?
Next Tuesday, or is it Tuesday after?
The 24th, so it's not next Tuesday, but the one after that.
Ah.
Isn't that exciting?
One must take a Monday off, then.
Yes, one. Well, one can, but this one won't.
This one won't either.
Yeah, I know.
I meant the royal one.
Yeah, but I can't. I've been away a little bit, and I'm... kind of have to be here and do some work. So anyone else who's working on Monday the 23rd, I'll be here with you. So will Gugu.
He doesn't have a choice.
Gugu will be here.
Yeah,
exactly.
Damn it.
Leanne will be here. I'll be here. Gugu will be here. But we will not be here on the public holiday because, I mean, who would want to do that?
Yeah,
exactly.
All right.
No, sleep on a public
something
holiday.
To look forward to for that week. I did a quiz. It was a fundraiser for charity last night, and I'm furious we didn't win.
Oh, no. Ooh, I'm with you on that.
If I go to a stupid quiz...
Ooh, I've got to win.
And I don't win. I wish I wasn't there.
No, then it's a waste.
Yeah, I don't care how many nice people there are, how many nice people I've met. I like to win.
Was there a second place?
Well, no, we came fourth.
Oh, no.
Oh, what a waste.
Fourth. Fourth. I mean, there were like 10 or 11 people. It's not even... We did really badly. In the one round, we were shit.
But were you able to pick the people you were with?
Yeah. I was with good people. There were some pretty smart people there. And
so what happened?
I don't know. We got the wrong questions wrong, and we had a double up round, which was not our best round. So anyway, look, you know what? It's not life and death. No one died. We all raised money for charity. I suppose for some people it's fun to do these things. I do not have fun if I don't win.
Not at a quiz, definitely
not. Right?
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I know team sports are for most people, and they enjoy the game and enjoy the participation. And my father taught me all that stuff. He's like, you know, boy, it's not about winning. It's about the way you play the game. And I always said, yeah. But deep down inside, I never believed that shit. Deep down inside, I've always believed that unless I win, it was a waste of time.
Well, look at the bright side, Gareth. At least the kids get to eat, you know?
Well, I think the charity, it raised money for a nursery school, so yeah, I suppose that's all right.
Yeah, well, kids are eating.
No, but that's not why I did it.
Had to be a last word.
I'm not good at those things. Some people are really smart and sharp, and they're able to comprehend that they're contributing to the world. And I mean, in my more integrated moments, I get that. I hate losing. Hate it. Not good at dealing with it.
Yeah.
And I don't get resentful with my own team, but I
bet you do.
No. I'm cross that I used up the time to not win. It's ridiculous, right? It's ridiculous. This is why I don't play team sports. Everybody who knows me will tell you that I wasn't useless athletically. I didn't have the worst hand-eye coordination. I wasn't fat. I wasn't lazy. I just didn't want to do it. It wasn't a priority to me. And you know why? Mm-hmm. I don't care about that trophy at the end. I want the stuff and the win.
Yes.
Not going to share it with all of you.
No.
Sounds like only child syndrome.
Now, can you imagine?
It should be, right?
Yeah, I
should
be an only child. It's also oldest child syndrome.
Oh, you're the oldest child.
Which we're both, yeah. Oh,
okay. Both oldest.
But imagine now you know that you're going to come last. Then you have to still do it?
No, then I won't play.
That was me with running.
Yeah, you see, that's just cruel.
Couldn't run to save your life.
It's cruel. Well,
I've also got little legs, you know.
Oh, yeah. True.
And you were very top heavy because your breasts.
Exactly. Yeah. If I put too much into it, I would have scraped my chin in the tarmac.
Falls over forward.
Yeah, she would fall forward.
So my mum wrote countless excuse letters for me when it was sprint day.
My mother refused to. She refused. My father refused to. They're like, no, you're going to do it. One day my mother made me play tennis after I'd broken my elbow falling down. She was like, ah, you're just making excuses.
Sure.
I was like, what? Are you? Then we went for x-rays and she's like, begrudgingly, after they show that there's an actual fracture, she's like,
Yeah.
Well, I suppose you're right.
I spent four years of my life at school not being able to see. People called me a bitch because they were like, Leanne never greets us when she sees us in the shops. I couldn't freaking see. My mom didn't believe me. Finally, we go to the optometrist.
It's like, fuck, she's blind as a bat.
He shows her on the screen what it looks like, what I'm seeing. And it's just, you can barely see letters.
Sure.
It looks like white paper. And she was like, I'm so sorry.
And she apologized.
I finally got glasses.
All right. Well,
it was tough growing up in the 80s, I must say.
Well, your parents just let you do stuff. I remember my parents just saying to me, you and your brother, who's 3 years younger than me, right? You just go get on your bikes, just ride around the neighborhood. Yeah. And we would leave like on a weekend. We would leave at like 9 a.m. on our bikes. Yeah. And we'd go and visit our friends who were kilometers away.
Yeah.
Really?
And our parents, we didn't have cell phones, so they wouldn't see us as long as we were home before the sun came down.
The sun came down. That was it. I had a bike with a bell. My mate had a bike with a basket. In the basket was a map book.
Oh, shit.
And we would just go whenever we wanted.
Did you guys know how to use a map?
Yes.
Really? Yeah.
Don't you know how to use a map? If you didn't have Waze or Google Maps, would you be able to get
around? I probably wouldn't find my way home then.
Yeah. See, this is what's like, these are basic survival skills. My sister's boyfriend, who was in the Air Force and he flies planes and he's a really sharp guy. Mm. He is going to take my two nephews, and I think this is a brilliant idea. When they're old enough, when they're at like, I don't know, 10, maybe 12, somewhere around there, he's going to take them out into the middle of the bush. And they're not going to have any electric equipment with them. No, there's going to be
or
nothing.
Or clothes. Maybe it'll be like Naked and Afraid.
No, he wants them to learn how to find north. He wants them
What's
to
it
learn.
Called? Orienteering.
Orienteering. He wants them to learn how to find food. He wants them to learn how to, look, James and I, this is his name, James, we plan for the zombie apocalypse, just as a fun thing.
Okay. Yeah,
like, we're always talking about what will happen.
As long as it's just a fun thing.
Yeah, of course it's a fun thing. We go, wherever my sister's boyfriend and I end up sitting next to each other, we go, all right, would this house be defensible in a zombie apocalypse? Uh-huh. And then we think about what nearby we would need, where we'd get supplies, just for fun. It's a fun exercise to do. But when he does this with my nephews, I think it's going to be brilliant for them. Because
they'll love it.
Of course they will.
They're not going to love it. They'll starve.
No, they'll love it, Gugu, because men want to be out in the wild. They want to learn basic skills. You know how accomplished you feel? I was in the Cub Scouts when I was a kid. So I had to learn how to chop wood and how to sew and how to do basic things like crack an egg and cook it at the age of, I don't know, what was
that? Sure, I was in brownies. It was a lot more advanced than that.
Yeah, I was about to say, I learned that at home.
I'm saying you would get a badge for, like, cooking or for sewing or for being able to...
Housekeeping. We had a housekeeping
start a
badge.
Fire with nothing.
First aid.
Yeah, first aid, that kind of thing. This stuff, they don't teach anyone this stuff anymore. If you take away someone's cell phone, they're like a... They're like a vegetable.
They're out of water.
They're a vegetable. They sit around. They go. They can't. They don't know how to communicate. They don't know how to find north. They don't know which way to move. They're not sure whether their friends care about them or not. They fall in a complete heap. They're anxious. It's a disaster.
Mm.
And I'm so grateful for that stuff. And I'm gonna make damn sure that my two nephews are able to figure the world out without a phone.
Yeah.
Because it's really important. Leanne's friend with a basket in the front. It's like
and a map.
It's like this is like a vintage movie, right? With a map book in the front of it. Let me tell you something. That girl will never fall in a heap when she finds herself in a bad neighborhood somewhere and doesn't know how to get out. She'll figure it out.
We used to use a piece of string on the map and then work out the scale.
Really?
To figure out
how
the
far
distance.
You were. Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah.
That's cool.
And I remember being in the car when we were going on holiday on long trips, and I would follow our route
on the map.
On the map, and And I thought to myself, how amazing would it be if there was this little red dot that shone up on the map and showed you where you were?
Well, look at you. You could have invented
Google. I could have.
Exactly, right?
But I was like, don't be silly, Leanne.
Yeah, I still do that when I'm driving and I mark something. Like, because I usually, if I'm driving a long distance, if it's a holiday or whatever, I'll use Waze or Google Maps or whatever, yeah, just so I can track my journey and, you know, figure out average speeds and whether there are things coming up with their, you know, traffic advisories or whatever. Then I'll use it.
Arrival time.
Yeah, and if I pass something interesting, like there's a beautiful waterfall or there's something interesting, then I'll mark it on the map. I'll just hit that little pin drop thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then it saves the location and, you know, it's not going to distract you while you drive. And then when you stop somewhere, you can actually look at that on the map, find it, find out about it. Mm-hmm. You drive past stuff all the time and you're not sure what it is, right? Mm. I mean, you did a trip to Dullstroom there.
Yeah, this past weekend, I think.
Yeah, it's quite, I mean, it's a nice drive.
You're on your bike?
Yeah. On the bike. It was an insane experience, eh?
Huh?
It rained on that Friday morning coming to work. I left here nice and sunny. I think an hour and a half into the journey, it just started raining. Temperature dropped all the way into Dullstroom.
And that place can get cold.
And
could you see
foggy
through your little visor thingy?
Couldn't see.
That fog is terrifying.
When I was insane.
When I was there in, what was it, August?
Mm-hmm.
Beginning of August. Mm. Could even have been July.
Did you go? Huh?
Yeah.
So I was there for a little bit. We went into the town and then back to this friend of mine's farm.
Yeah.
And you couldn't see a meter in front of you.
Yeah.
Hectic. But it's a beautiful little place. And there's so many things along the way that you see and you think, I wonder what that is. And you can't stop everywhere, especially if you've got, you know, time constraints and that kind of thing. So you look it up afterwards.
Mm.
It's cool. It's interesting.
I used to go to bed and next to my bed was a map book.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like a road map book.
Yes.
An atlas, the world atlas.
Atlas. Did you also look at the
and
atlas?
And a dictionary. And I would read those things.
Really? So this is why I like you.
Seriously. Yeah, Leanne's like the information guru, you know, like whenever
I've got
we
to know all the facts.
Yeah, she knows everything.
Have to.
Jeez.
This weekend, what are your plans? Anything interesting happening? Gugu?
What are my plans? You know what? Leanne, go for it. Go ahead.
I'm going for a breakfast this morning with Mama.
Oh.
We're going to the Whippet in Melville, which has recently opened, and it's lovely. Oh.
We covered the Whippet. Well, we didn't, but Ernest North did on Naked Economy. Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Now, that was the Whippet in Linden. They've expanded into Melville.
Great. Love that. Success.
Yeah. Doing really well. I mean, I've got to go early this morning to ensure that I get a table.
Very nice.
Can't book. But yes, going with all the ladies from my dad's office for a farewell. And then on Sunday, oh God, how old am I? On Sunday, I'm going to an old age home.
Oh my for God. What?
No, you, for lunch.
This is kind of depressing. I'm sorry.
Shouldn't have asked.
But they're actually with people that I really love.
Yeah, of course. All right. Whatever.
It's actually a retirement estate.
Oh, God.
No, it's huge, and they've got a clubhouse where you can order your own food. So you're not going to have jelly and custard.
Yes, you know. Of course, and liquid food only, because you can add if you can't.
Definitely not. I mean, there are lots of ponds and ducks and lakes.
Very nice.
It's near the highway going to Four Ways.
Oh, my God, it's wonderful.
It's called Waterfall Estate.
That's Waterfall Estate. It's in the mid-rent.
I don't know.
Waterfall is, we've also done a podcast for them.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, I'll quickly throw this in because I'd like to update, you know, the people who listen to us.
Mm.
You, if you've listened to us from the beginning, and thank you to all those people who joined our core research group. We've sent out this questionnaire and found out a whole lot of interesting stuff about who's listening, and thank you for that. If you took part, and if you didn't, don't worry about it. It's not essential.
Fuck you.
No. But we did this really interesting thing, and it's the first of its kind. Waterfall Estates, this enormous development in Midrand.
Oh, then it's not that.
Okay. Well, there's 9 residential estates within Waterfall, and one of them is a retirement village.
Oh.
But the rest, there's like super, super wealthy polo estate equestrian estate thing, and then there are a whole lot of like complexes, and there's one that's a like a golf estate type thing. It's beautiful, and there are shops. The Mall of Africa is part of it. It's a huge development.
Okay.
It's like a city within a city. And we've produced a podcast series for them, which is only for the people who live in Waterfall Estate and work in Waterfall Estate. So you and I can't hear it if we don't live there. And it's interesting. So it's about what goes on in the estate, who's in charge, what the security upgrades are, what you might need to know about the new roads they're building there, the helipad that they've got there, the new businesses that are opening, the hospital, the schools. It's like a community.
I've seen the hospital there.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
The community, the real life community, are now an online digital community. And then that feeds back into the real life community. It's amazing.
Wow. That's cutting edge.
It is cutting edge. I'm so proud of it because this would be the first podcast of that kind in the world that I can think of or that I've heard of. And we could probably farm this out to a bunch of others as well. Mm. So if you live in an estate and you're interested in doing this, maybe we should talk, you know. Anyway, so I'm going to – I did the quiz last night. I'm going to this friend of mine called Alex the Russian this evening for a braai.
Head of Russian? Why does he call that?
Well, because he's Russian.
Oh, okay. And his name is Alex.
Oh, okay. Yes, makes sense now. Okay.
And then Alex. Correct. Then tomorrow there's this thing called It's Personal, which is like a picnic festival type thing.
Right.
It's in the middle of this place next to a river, and like thousands of people come. I went last year, and it was loads of fun. So I'm going again this year.
Is it a
day
thing or a night thing?
Sort of day into night.
It's going to be cold at night.
Yeah, I'm going to take a jacket for the evening.
Yeah, well, there's a cold front
you
coming.
You do not want to get cold there. Is there a cold front? Oh,
well, there's water.
Shit. I saw it on the weather last night with the sound off.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it just misses us. I'm in Cartagena.
Just graze our asses or something.
Because Donald Trump, if he drew with a Sharpie on the map, then he could include us. Then we'd get cold as well.
He'd include,
by the way,
Namibia and Mozambique.
Did you see that whole storm in a teacup? So Donald Trump, who just can never be wrong because his ego will shatter into a million pieces.
Yeah, it turned out he was wrong.
He said this Hurricane Dorian is going to hit Alabama, and he tweeted out about it. I know for a fact that it is going to hit Alabama, and then it doesn't hit Alabama. Yes. So he is on TV. And he grabs a Sharpie pen.
He's got a map, like a printed map, like a big board.
Like it's 1983. And he takes a permanent marker and he draws. The hurricane, you can see, is going off to the east along the coast where the Carolinas are. And he's like, no, I said it was going to hit Alabama. It's going to go this way. And he draws.
He reshapes it.
In the opposite direction.
He draws it a new path.
Really?
But are you surprised? I mean, listen, what everybody has to do is get over the fact that Trump is Trump. This is what we're dealing with. So it's not an issue. Just you ignore him and move on.
I can't.
He's a
president. How,
The media have lost their minds. You would think he had denied September 11th took place. You would think he had invaded a foreign country or lost the codes to America's nuclear arsenal the way that the media go, oh, my God, Trump redrew the hurricane map. Oh, this is terrible.
But
this
it's
is
a
the
sign if he's doing that. Can you imagine what else he's doing? That's what it is.
Well, of course, but the thing you need to remark on with this guy is like he's a complete egomaniac. This is not news. We've known this
it's
about
still irritating.
I've known this about Donald Trump since I first heard his name. Wow, that guy's got an ego. How can it still be surprising to some people that he would do things like this? Do you really think someone like that can rein in their worst impulses? We know he can't. Guess what the biggest threat is to Donald Trump not being reelected? Donald Trump tweeting and talking nonsense. If someone got hold of his Twitter account and shut it down, the guy would be president for the next 40 years. But his Twitter account is his Achilles heel.
Did you talk about him getting into John Legend and Chrissy Teigen?
Oh, my God, the two of them calling each other foul-mouthed and swearing at each other. It's just unbelievable.
Because he came up with this new law or something for guns. Was it guns? Some military thing.
Yeah.
And then there was a concert with stars performing at the concert.
Yeah.
And John Legend was one of them. And they praised this new initiative.
Yeah.
And Donald got all jealous.
Really?
He was like, actually, I thought about this. It was my thing. Not boring. And he typed this. Not boring musicians like John Legend. Jeez. And his foul-mouthed wife.
Yes, his foul-mouthed wife.
Come at him.
She wasn't even there. She didn't even know where John Legend was.
Wow.
She came at him. She replied.
He cannot help.
And he tagged everyone in the tweet except for Chrissy Teigen. Oh. So she replied something like, something like,
you puss.
No, she did. She called him a pussy ass.
Yeah, pussy ass bitch.
Really?
Yeah.
Pussy ass bitch. Thanks, pussy ass bitch. You tagged everyone except me or something.
Yeah, so she is living up to her foul mouthed reputation.
Yeah.
And he's living up to being the most fragile ego in the universe.
Yeah.
Anyway, who cares?
No politics.
Hey, are you going to ask me what I'm doing this weekend?
What are you doing?
Gareth, thanks for including me.
Well, hurry up and speak up for yourself. You know, your problem is like you were whining the other day about.
About what?
Oh, I applied for 3 years before I got a job here. Because you're not.
Well, I did.
No, you don't speak up.
Like, Gareth, you can't start a sentence with your problem is.
Your problem is. Your problem is you don't speak. Just tell us what you're doing this weekend!
I'm fucking going and meeting up with friends. Like,
have you got a girl yet?
No, I don't have a girl yet, but we'll get there, Gareth. You can be my wingman.
I'm not getting involved in your love.
Yeah, well, you keep insisting I get this girl.
No. So I'll deputize someone to do that.
Who are you going to choose?
What you need to do is you need to find someone who has the characteristics and qualities you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And then the two
then
of you.
Then yours will shine.
Yeah, then your stuff shines. But also the two of you are a force then together. So you and your friend go out to a bar or something.
Uh-huh.
You together are undeniably attractive. You're both witty, intelligent, good-looking, all that stuff.
And half then
separately,
and half.
And separately you have your own qualities, which the other one doesn't have. And then you will attract certain girls and he will attract other ones. Between the two of you, you will capture the whole market.
See how smart that is, Leanne?
It looks like you have a map and a Sharpie. Huh? Capture the whole market.
If you go to the bar and you are very attractive, you will get the most top, tremendous A-grade pussy.
Oh, my God. He is pussy. So awful.
Good.
Because he all would right. actually say
so
that.
So what's the plan?
Yeah,
what are you doing?
We're going to this curry place down the road. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen it. It's curry and all.
Is
I love good? Curry and all, it's damn good. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
It's your Navonia.
Have you tried it out already?
We have. We always go there. Yeah, so
I
we're
like
doing that.
Curry. That's nice.
And then Sunday... Hitting up the range. You should do it sometime.
What's that?
Shooting?
Shooting
range.
Good man. What are you shooting this weekend?
Stay sharp.
What are you shooting?
The PO9.
Your one?
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
You should got enough ammo? Because ammo is hard to come by.
Ammo
is
expensive these days. Yeah. Can't even fire warning shots anymore because it's so expensive.
One of my friends is an expert target shooter. He's one of those guys who goes around a range. You know those ranges where they've got the
like a cool
shade
cloth. SADPA or IDPA.
There we go.
I'm a member, by the way.
And he goes around there and he has 100% kill rate.
Really?
He gets every target dead center while he's moving. That's incredible.
Does he shoot animals?
No. No, he doesn't. No, it's all for self-defense.
He's like the John Wick.
Yeah, he's like John Wick.
Yeah.
See, there was
I'll tell you what, this friend, you talk about zombie apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
If I need
you'd want him.
Oh, he
you'd
would.
Put him at the front.
Yeah.
It's a fun game to play. Do this with your friends and family. Some of them are going to be left behind. You need to play this game. If you can have 10 people on your zombie apocalypse team, think very carefully. Who would they be? Because
well, number one, not me.
Not Sia.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd have you, Leanne. You would make a good decoy to feed the zombies while the rest of us try to escape something.
Look, when you've got wits and intelligence, it's not going to help with zombies.
No, yeah. Hold on, Mr.
Let
Zombie.
Let me tell you a joke.
Yeah, let me reason with you. That's not going to happen.
Not too much speed over there.
No, I don't think, shame, Leanne, I'm not being mean, but you... Yeah.
No, I agree. I wouldn't put me on my team. No
I mean,
way.
I'd keep you... If we could have, let's say, 20 people, I'd put you on the team because you could be there for comic relief and to make people feel better at the end of a hard day and, you know...
Tell stories, make people feel better about themselves.
But in a tactical situation, I don't know that you'd freak out, you'd make a noise, you'd scream, you'd run too slowly. It would be a disaster.
But who'd be worse?
Fall into a ball and suck my thumb.
Yeah, but between her and Sia, who do you think would be worse?
Sia would be a good distraction because if you threw him...
No, you just hide.
If you were approached by a horde of zombies and you threw him out into the group,
he'd freak out.
He would distract them for a while by his screaming.
Yeah, he probably would.
And
right?
you could run away.
Well, he'd be eaten.
Yes, of course.
No, we don't care about that.
No, we don't want people to die, but some people really, their only purpose is going to be distracting the zombies. But it's a fun game to play. So think about it carefully, because there's some people you're going to have to leave behind. Just think, it's a fun thing to do. All right, let's get into the day. First of all, Blind History is back.
Nice.
Yes, in the first episode of the second season, Anthony Medera and I take a look at the life of a man who was the leader of the U.S. civil rights movement, a pacifist, an orator, a family man, and a preacher. Who am I talking about? The one and only
Martin Luther King.
You smart girl. That's right. Leanne was at the front of the class.
Did we not meet one of his family?
No. No, no, no.
Who did we meet?
We met Miles Davis's nephew the other day. Miles Davis's nephew. He's the saxophonist. Sorry, trumpeter. All right. The U.S. civil rights movement, Martin Luther King Jr. Even more exciting is that season two has included a full video of each episode. So if you prefer, like a lot of people have said to me, we enjoy the Blind History podcasts because we can listen to them wherever we are and whatever we're doing, but we would like some visual stuff. Well, the videos are amazing, so you can find them on cliffcentral.com too. They include all kinds of visuals, the motel where he was shot, his birth certificate, pictures of his father and mother and Coretta.
Wow.
And it's really nice, yeah. And if you want to see the video, go and take a look at that. We've also got footage in the studio of me and Anthony talking, related imagery. You'll find lots of interesting stuff there. So we've really produced this to be a first-class experience for anyone who enjoyed the first season of Blind History. It's back, but it's back with more. And you can also check all of that out on the podcast page on our site, cliffcentral.com, or on our YouTube channel, and look out for a teaser video of episode 2, which is starting today. Look out on social media. Season 2 of Blind History is brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters.
All right. Very good.
Yeah, I'm very excited. We actually recorded 4 more episodes this week. Yeah, it's looking good. All right, do you want to know what's in the news?
Yeah, let's do it.
5 things you need to know today. Where should we begin?
I think that we should start at the beginning.
That's a good idea. A very good place to start.
Yes, because when you read, you begin with?
ABC.
And when you sing, you begin with?
Do re mi.
Do re mi. The first 3 notes just happened to be.
All right, that's enough.
It's like an inside joke or what? Okay.
No, it was Sound of Music.
Oh, okay. I'll just sit here.
No, we just got to complete your education. You obviously.
The circle wasn't finished.
Yeah. You started the drawing and you just never completed it. I'll never go back in my life, says Victor Ndiobe. 5 years ago, the young technician left Imo in southern Nigeria to start a new life in South Africa. But on Wednesday, he was one of 199 Nigerians on a plane to Lagos after a privately owned Nigerian airline said it would repatriate 600 citizens who are fleeing xenophobic attacks in South Africa.
Amen.
This is so embarrassing, you know. 12 people were killed and hundreds of shops destroyed in and around Johannesburg last week in a spate of attacks against foreigners fueled by soaring unemployment and poverty. Yes, those are reasons, but they're not excuses. And these South Africans who have perpetrated these actions, these horrific actions of violence, property destruction, murder, they
Looting.
Should go to jail. They are nothing less than criminals.
With reptile brains.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I do.
No, I'm afraid
Snakes.
So. Yeah, exactly. So that's very sad. And he's just one example of the kind of thing that is going on. I don't know. I'm very disillusioned about the way that we treat foreign nationals in South Africa, and it upsets me in a big way.
Mm.
Oh boy!
But like we were saying yesterday on the Burning Platform, it's almost like if you are abused, you become an abuser, and it's people who've suffered at the hands of apartheid who are now imparting that
on other people.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's true.
Horrible.
It's what happens. Victims create more victims, create more victims, and it's just you have to break that cycle. And if you don't, you are condemning future generations, your own children maybe, to a fate just like yours. All right, then there are a couple other stories that we need to pay attention to today. Convicted rapist Bob Hewitt is to be released on parole. The lawyer for one of the victims of the disgraced former tennis player, Bob Hewitt, has reportedly requested that a decision by the Correctional Services Department to release him on parole be reviewed. According to a report by The Citizen, the decision to release Hewitt was taken after the parole board sat on August the 23rd. He's due for release on parole on September 23rd. So that's next week. He's 79 years old. Sorry, the week after. He was convicted for the rape of two young women and sexually assaulting another who he coached in the 1980s and 90s. He was sentenced to 6 years in prison and found guilty of rape in 2015. However, Tanya Kuhn, who's the attorney for one of the victims, told the publication her client, Olivia Jazreel, was not informed of the hearing and the decision. And remember, in these parole hearings, mm-hmm. the victims of a crime get a say, or they get to make some kind of submission to the parole board to say, we don't feel comfortable with this guy being released yet.
And they take that into consideration.
Yep, they do. Most violent behavior is learned where? Where do people learn violent behavior?
At home, I think.
Video games.
Oh yeah, all video games. At home.
No, at home. From people, it's from their parents. Yeah.
Bless you,
girl. This is the problem. If people are violent in South Africa, it's not because of the government. It's not because of TV. It's not because of movies. It's not because of video games. That is parents trying to blame other things for the fact that they've raised little monsters. And they've taught those monsters to be violent. The Institute for Security Studies on Thursday said while an increase in police presence is likely to reduce crime numbers, the violent culture in homes is the cause of most crime. This is when we have to take a big old mirror and look into it and see the ugliness on our own faces. All right? The latest crime statistics show the national murder rate has increased by 3.4% in the last year. The rate in Gauteng has jumped by 6.2%. Sexual offences are a major challenge in the province. The report said sexual assault and contact sexual offences increased by 14.7% and 17.9% respectively. ISS Head of Justice and Violence Prevention Gavin Newham said the attitude to violence was formed in the home and not by police. Most violent behavior is learned or tolerated in the home, communities, and schools where children either directly experience or witness violence. Many people grow up believing violence is an acceptable way to solve disputes and assert authority. That drives much of the violence that occurs against women and between men in public places. So
we need to re-educate.
Well, I don't think it's an education thing. We need to start...
Yeah, start them young, but...
Start treating people with respect in families, and if you have a family and they are horrible people, and you've got a father who's violent and aggressive, then guess what? Your children are going to grow up to be disasters as well.
Sad but true.
The moon and Donald Trump are going to meet. Oh no, sorry, Kim Moon, who's of course the leader of South Korea. But it would be funny if I'm going to meet with the moon.
Yes. Anyway. If I can't meet with the Taliban, then bring me the moon.
South Korean President Moon Jae-in and President Donald Trump are holding a summit at the United Nations this month.
What are they going to talk about?
They'll talk about dismantling North Korea's nuclear weapons program.
Oh, do you think they're going to listen to Trump?
Well, you know, Donald Trump's the only guy who's got through to Kim Jong-un in North Korea, so there's a better chance with him than there was with anyone before him, but let's not hold our breath.
No.
And DJ Khaled is set to become a dad again.
Again?
Again.
He must have been working hard in the bedroom then.
He is going to be a father for the second time, as he revealed his wife, Nicole Tuck, is expecting another baby boy, 43-year-old DJ Khaled!
Not like that, Gareth.
How does he go?
I can't do it.
Well, then why are you criticizing me?
Yeah, because you're the accent...
The 43-year-old DJ and record producer already has a 2-year-old son, and alongside a video posted on Instagram of Nicole undergoing her ultrasound scan, the hitmaker wrote, "God is the greatest. All I ever wanted to do was inspire the world to be great and leave a legacy. Almost 3 years ago when I found out my queen was expecting our son Assad, I knew my life would change forever and that our legacy would soon be on the way." Wow, this could have been Donald Trump. There's so much ego in this.
Watch his kids become like really bad humans in society.
After that blessing, I released some of my biggest albums to date, inspired by his greatness.
Really?
Oh. Someone has to tell him that people have been making children for millions of years.
Yes, number one.
Yeah. Someone has to sit him down. Really? And then Serena Williams' husband. Who even knows his name? Anyone?
No.
No, I didn't think
no
so.
No idea.
Because he's Serena Williams' husband.
That's his name.
That is a title. Yeah.
Serena Williams' husband, Alexis Ohanian, wants to end the stigma around paternity leave, as he believes it's important for men to take time off to be with their newborn children. The couple, who married in 2017, welcomed their daughter, Alexis Olympia, 23 months ago. And the Reddit co-founder has now said he wants to highlight how important it is for men to take time off to be with their newborn children.
Depends on how much help they're going to be. Like when you nudge them in bed when the baby's crying and they don't do anything, then rather just go to work and get out of my hair.
I feel like he's like the babysitter in the relationship. Now she's always playing sports and winning Grand Slams and all that stuff, and he's like just babysitting.
Maybe he wants to be a home daddy.
Yeah, it could be.
All right, those are the five things you need to know. Here are a couple of messages. I'm worried sick about Sia, says someone. Well, we'll find out what's happening with Sia. I did try to call him, Julie.
I just put it down to an oversleeping.
Julie, thing. If you'd like to call him too, we'll give you his number. And then this message came through from Leandi. She says, "Oh, I'm thinking about my team and making my picks for the zombie apocalypse, and I've just realized I won't be on the team."
You see, I'm with you on that. No. Maybe we'll make our own team.
Carl says, "Leanne, stop confusing your blacks again. You must pay more attention."
Who did I confuse? Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
It was some. Maybe it was a basketball player. I'm not sure.
Maybe we should have a Bachelor spin-off with Gugu as the lead. I would apply, even though I'm not exotic, says Kucho.
Okay, it's an idea.
Kucho looking good in her picture, I gotta say.
Is she? I'll check her out later.
Trump is such a doer, but hell, man, he's trolling and he's fantastic. Yes, that's a very good point. He is trolling everybody, and he's good at that. So, good point, well put, Sean. Thank you for your comment. That's interesting. This is from Wendell. He sent me a picture that says, "You don't just get a girl in Brakpan, you get a turn." Took you a little while there.
It's still taking me a while.
You don't just get a girl.
Is it because the girls are easy?
You get a turn, boy.
Okay, got it.
All right, took a little
bit. That it's jolly, though.
I hate explaining the joke. It's always just of a little disappointing.
It's a downer.
Yeah, a real downer. So I'm not going to tell jokes
I'll pretend
again.
To get it again.
All right. And then a couple of other messages we don't have time for now, but please, let's stick to No Politics Friday, says someone else.
Yes.
Oh, here's an interesting one. I deliver concrete to the Waterfall Estate, and wow, people there have some serious money. 40 million rand houses are scary.
What?
That's from Tyrell. Yeah.
Jeez.
And then another message here. It's my birthday, bitches. This is from Cassandra. She says, "Let's see how many people I can lie to about my age today."
Well, good happy birthday, you. Bitch.
Yeah. Looking good, Cassandra.
Huh.
First time I'm listening live since last Monday. The show just feels different when Garrett's not around, not taking anything away from Sia and Leanne. Anyway, it's Friday the 13th. Is it? Oh, Jesus. It's Friday the 13th.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, why is Friday the 13th such a thing? I just know it from the movies, honestly. It's just another day. We celebrate like 420, for example. Some history associated with a specific day. I can't remember what the history of Friday the 13th is, and I'm not superstitious, so I don't care. If you can fill us in, Leanne. That might be helpful.
I'll get onto the Google.
Honestly, don't remember what it comes from.
Ooh, there's a full moon as well.
Oh, dun dun dun!
A rare full moon will light up Friday the 13th for the first time in years.
Oh,
full harvest moon. Yeah.
Is that it?
The superstition may have arisen in the Middle Ages, originating from the story of Jesus' Last Supper and crucifixion.
All right.
In which there were 13 individuals present.
I just want to say I wasn't involved in any of that stuff, so okay.
Present in the upper room on the 13th of Nisan Maundy Thursday, which was the night before his death on Good Friday. So no one really knows. But then the movies made a big thing of it, right? So I'd say it's from the movies.
Oh, man, that's not good.
Hmm.
I don't know if I like this Friday the 13th thing. I think it makes people nervous.
For nothing.
Yeah.
It would have been my grandfather's 104th birthday today. He died at the age of 102.
So he didn't have a bad time for someone born on Friday the 13th. It's a good innings.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Well, he may not have been born on a Friday, but...
well, born on the 13th. So there were a couple of Fridays. Every 7 years, he had a Friday the 13th birthday.
So he had a lot.
And sometimes because of that leap year thing and months not all being the same length, the Friday the 13th might happen more, not less. Okay, we got, guess who's coming today? Jesse Clegg is popping in.
Nice.
Is he? Yeah, you know that the last time Jesse was meant to be here was the day his dad died.
I remember
and,
that.
And it was kind of freaky.
Oh, my word.
But he's got a new album out, and he's going to come and talk to us about that. He's also an official ambassador for the 46664 Foundation. He was invited to play at Radio City Music Hall in New York for the annual Mandela Day concert, and we've got lots to talk to him about. So all of that is on the way.
Very good.
Very, very good.
Did you hear about that poem that can be read in both English and Afrikaans?
Yes, very clever. Have you got it?
I do.
Go on.
My
mother showed it to me. I don't have it, though.
Oh, maybe I don't.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for that, Leanne. Build us up and drop us down.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel sore.
Okay. No, I do have it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Should I read it in Afrikaans and then you can imagine the words in English?
Yeah, do it in Afrikaans and then we'll do the English one afterwards.
Every word can be read in English. It's called My Stories Begin As Letters.
My stories begin as letters.
Mm. Mm-hmm. My pen is my wonderland.
My pen is my wonderland.
Hey, you know Afrikaans. Let me try.
Okay, go.
Okay.
Word water in my hand.
Warm water in my hand.
No, become.
Ah, oh, fuck.
Word water in my hand.
Okay. Jesus, I give you one chance and you fuck it up.
In my pen is wonder ink.
In my pen is, what was that first word? That
wonder.
That word?
I'm saying wonder. Now imagine saying that in English.
Oh, this wonder is going to take
ink.
Everybody
wonder
budget
ink.
The next
yeah,
5 minutes
in
your
ink.
Morning.
I got it.
Yeah,
got
eventually.
It. Yeah.
Everybody take an extra 5 minutes on your drive today because Gugu's going to try to understand what's going on here. Go on.
Go on, yeah.
Stories sing, stories sink.
Stories sing, stories sink.
My stories loop.
My stories fucking walk.
Loop.
Oh, sorry. Isn't loop walk?
The word can be read in English and Afrikaans. L-O-O-P.
Oh, shit, I'm reading in English. Okay.
Yes.
You missed the point.
My stories stop.
My stories stop.
My pen is my wonder mop.
My pen is my wonder mop.
There we go. Drink letters.
Drink the letters.
Drink my ink.
Drink my ink.
My pen is blunt.
My pen is blunt.
No, blind.
Okay, blind. I don't know how a pen can be blind.
My stories blink.
My stories are blind.
My stories blink.
Fuck. Okay, go on.
Google, I...
Go on, Leanne.
That's it. That's
done.
The whole thing.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
So, Google, the point is you can read it in English, and it'll make sense as a poem. And you can read it in Afrikaans, and it will make sense as a poem.
Someone called Jerry Head said, I had to read it a few times before I realized I shouldn't switch language every sentence. Mm. You don't have to. It's all there for you.
Uh-huh.
Very
anyway, that's good. Someone says here, quite rightly, is Gugu retarded? He's trying to translate this thing. Really? Mpihleng says, I am gay and I want to date Gugu. Where are the application forms? Why don't you bring Leanne's grandfather, Damon?
I don't know how those two things have to do with each other.
There were three things looped in there.
Right. Yeah. Stream of consciousness from Mpihleng this morning. So,
yes.
Yeah. It's not babysitting Gugu. It's called parenting, Devlin.
Well, I've never been one of those.
Gareth,
so
don't be so impatient with Gugu. Be nice.
Gareth.
That's from Natasha.
Hello, Natasha. I see your picture over there.
Yes. Stop being creepy. God.
It's not always about what people look like.
Just calm down, Gugu. You know, you're totally out of control this morning. No, please, not a Friday. If I wanted to hear Afrikaans and I respect the language and the people, but I'd listen to Ares Gea. Oh, shut up.
Mm.
It's one poem. Calm your tits.
I love Afrikaans. I studied in Afrikaans.
Did you?
By Rands Afrikaans Universiteit.
Well, a lot of you...
What?
I majored in geïntegreerde bemarkingscommunicatie.
What? Integrated market... What?
Marketing communication.
Good Lord. And you studied it in Afrikaans?
Yeah, so we had a choice. We could either get our lectures in Afrikaans and our textbooks in English, or the other way around.
And which did you choose?
Textbooks, English, lectures in Afrikaans. But I was fully bilingual at that stage. Okay. I've lost it now because I haven't spoken for a while.
Gareth, how did you learn Afrikaans?
I went Pretoria off.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, my parents never spoke Afrikaans to me, really. But I went to an Afrikaans nursery school because it was a really good school. And the teachers only spoke Afrikaans to us there. And then after that, kind of English schools and all the rest. But I never forgot. And I've got lots of Afrikaans friends. Mm. So I'm pretty good at that, too.
I grew up next to an Afrikaans family of four. So, yeah.
All right, let's get your day started, shall we? It is 7:07. We'll come back with some news, talk about what's going on in the world, find out what you're up to, 0797482090, and plenty more.
This is CliffCentral.com.